Oh God, we thank you for your love and for watching over your creation. We know that all things were created by you, and we know that you hold all things together. We thank you that you share your common grace with all. You bless all of us by providing us with air, food, water, and a measure of health. We thank you for your providential care of all humankind, and we remember that you steer the course of history. We are grateful the Holy Spirit regenerates us, bringing us from spiritual death to spiritual life. We are grateful that you have endowed us with spiritual gifts, and as we permit, fill us to overflowing. We pray, O Lord, for our President, Congress, and Supreme Court justices. We know these individuals wield tremendous amounts of power, so we ask that you help them to interpret our laws wisely and honestly. Give them clarity of mind and a heart that senses its accountability to a higher law, your law. Almighty God, you know our church family has many needs. Some are suffering from physical, psychological, or spiritual downturns. Others have relational or financial difficulties. Some are disappointed, others are grieving, while still others are searching for that deeper life. Lord, you know each need and burden, and we commit them to your will and your care. We especially ask that you wrap your loving arms around the families who lost loved ones in Aurora, Colorado. Be with them and help them through this tragedy, helping to bring peace and comfort to their hearts. Be with those who are injured and help them come to full healing. Lord, we remember our missionaries, those who know you and have been called by you to carry the gospel to regions beyond. Protect them, direct them, enlighten them, and give them fruit for their labors. At home, Lord, we have much work to do. Today we remember our Sunday school ministry. We pray that our Sunday school ministry would blossom and make a big difference in deepening and grounding believers. Bless our teachers who give of their time and energy. May your Spirit prosper their instruction. May they seek your guidance as they prepare. As individuals, each one of us need to grow in so many ways. This week, we pray that you would help us to love others better. Help this growth in love to begin at home, spread to work and school and the neighborhood. May others see Christ in us because they see the love we have. And so, Lord, we commit these requests to you. Be with us and guide us. Amen.
Today's reading is from Luke 22:35-38 from the Message. Then Jesus said, "When I sent you out and told you to travel light, take only the bare necessities. Did you get along all right?" "Certainly," they said. "We got along just fine." He said, "This is different. Get ready for trouble. Look to what you'll need. There are difficult times ahead. Pawn your coat and get a sword." What was written in Scripture, "He was lumped in with the criminals," gets its final meaning in me. Everything written about me is now coming to a conclusion. They said, "Look, Master, two swords." But he said, "Enough of that. No more sword talk." Blessed be the reading of the word.
Very interesting passage. And I want to address something that we see a lot of in Scripture. Most people know about parables. We don't talk a lot about the metaphors in Scripture. And Jesus was a master at using metaphors. Here's a definition of a metaphor: a figure of speech in which a word or phrase that ordinarily designates one thing is used to designate another, thus making an implicit comparison, as in a sea of troubles, or all the world's a stage. Here's some more examples. Life is a journey. Purposes are destinations. Means are routes. Difficulties are obstacles. Counselors are guides. Achievements are landmarks. Choices are crossroads. Or, a lifetime is a day. Death is sleep. A lifetime is a year. Death is winter. Life is a precious possession. Time is a thief. It is well known that Jesus used metaphors as he did parables. Jesus was a wonderful communicator and used various communication techniques to convey his message. We often use various techniques to communicate. For example, we communicate differently to small children than we do adults. There are exceptions, Roger, but you know, come to daddy, sweetheart. No, no, please set the cup down. Do you have a boo-boo baby? When we speak to older kids, hey, come here, I want to talk to you. Or, set that cup down. Or maybe, are you hurt? Sometimes we communicate through hand signs. No, Roger. No. For example, we may look at someone and go, or how about this one? Or this one? It's all kinds of hand signs that we use and we communicate. And Roger's over here doing this. That's him. And sometimes we communicate through humor. Have you ever communicated to someone through humor? That's a new one for me. I'm not used to that. What? Try this on. Now, this is a communication, and after I give it to you, I want you to tell me what this person's trying to communicate. This is the rules of a man-woman relationship. The woman always makes the rules. The rules are subject to change at any time without prior notification. No man can possibly know all the rules. If the woman suspects the man knows all the rules, she must immediately change some or all of the rules. The woman is never wrong. If the woman is wrong, it is because of a flagrant misunderstanding, which was a direct result of something the man did or said wrong. If Rule 6 applies, the man must apologize immediately for causing the misunderstanding. The woman can change her mind at any given point in time. Does any of this sound familiar? Some of you got, no, very. The man must never change his mind without express written consent from the woman. The woman has every right to be angry or upset at any time. It's about to end, guys, so hang on. The man must remain calm at all times unless the woman wants him to be angry or upset. The woman must under no circumstances let the man know whether or not she wants him to be angry or upset. Any attempt to document these rules could result in bodily harm to the man. What's being communicated? She's the boss. She's in charge. That's through humor. And sometimes we hear these things and we think, well, you know, humor, you can communicate through humor. We see that. Jesus was not a big fan of communicating through humor. But there is humor in Scripture to communicate messages to us. And at times we communicate with sarcasm. For example, wasn't that dinner yummy? Yeah, right, if you like horrible tasting food. Right? Has anyone here ever used sarcasm? Why are y'all all pointing? Never mind. Sometimes we do. Sarcasm is a way to communicate, whether we're unhappy or we're just trying to be funny, we use sarcasm. And then there's the ever popular, duh, when someone says something. I hear that from kids. when I say things. It's rather unnerving. Isn't it amazing how sometimes we get all tangled up with the words we speak and end up not being clear about what we're trying to communicate? Have you ever tried to communicate with someone and you could tell that you're not getting your message across? I take you back to Jesus. Jesus talks to his disciples. We've seen this with parables. We've seen it with metaphors. We've seen it when he was talking straight out. And the disciples say, huh? What's that? And Jesus, at times, seems a little frustrated. And he goes, do you still not understand? Don't you get it? So we see that frustration, but Jesus tries different techniques, not just with the disciples, but with everyone. And we all do. As I said, it depends on the age of the person. It may depend on their education, but there are various ways to try and get a message across. Back when I was in high school, I had a poster that read, I know you think you understand what I said, but what you don't understand is that what I said wasn't what I meant. That always reminded me of how complicated life can be. Jesus did not use sarcasm or jokes to convey his message. He did, however, use metaphors, and this passage from Luke is an example of one of his metaphors to convey the message that danger was upon the disciples. Does anyone here believe that Jesus really wanted the disciples to get a sword? Because we're going to go back. I'm going to show you some things here. Jesus wants the disciples to know that he and they will be lumped in with criminals. He wants them to prepare themselves mentally and spiritually just as they would prepare for battle by buying a sword. But what the disciples hear is, get a sword. You'll need it. Are you ever misunderstood? Roger is. Sometimes we say things and we're misunderstood. I've noticed that it happens everywhere, at work, at home, at school, and frankly, sometimes it's our inability to communicate effectively. Believe it or not, it even happens at church. Here's a list of church bulletin misprints and church sign bloopers that prove that we in the church occasionally have problems saying what we mean. The bulletin of a church in Iowa announced, the low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday from 7 to 8:30. Please use the back door. Another church's bulletin carried this announcement. Due to the pastor's illness, Wednesday's healing services will be discontinued until further notice. During a service, one preacher made this announcement. This being Easter, we will now ask Mrs. Clemens to come forward and lay an egg on the altar. This was in a church newsletter. At the evening service tonight, the topic will be, what is hell? Come early and hear our choir practice. I didn't write that. That's, you know. At the, for those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church. Please use large double doors at the side entrance. This afternoon, there will be services in the south and north chapels of the church. Children will be baptized at both ends. These are real. This is communication. They're trying to get a message out. Thursday at 5 p.m., there will be a meeting of the Little Mothers Club. All ladies wishing to become Little Mothers will meet with the pastor in his study. Just a note, I double-check everything that comes. If it goes, I'll tell Tanya, you send it to me. Next Sunday, a special collection will be taken to defray the cost of the new carpet. All those wishing to do something on the carpet will come forward and do so. I believe this passage from Luke has an added message. That message comes in the words of Jesus when he says, enough of that, no more sword talk. It is the message of, not really. The disciples were so excited, it seems, thinking they could form a small army and gather up swords, yet Jesus says, not really. Come on, guys. You've been with me a long time. It appears that Jesus was, in fact, frustrated. As in other situations, when he was trying to convey an important message through a parable, he finds the disciples just are not getting it. So as they speak excitedly about swords, Jesus says, enough of that. No more sword talk. Now, we must keep in mind that we have the advantage of reading all of Jesus' sayings and works, whereas the disciples were experiencing this firsthand. And from what we know from the Gospels, Jesus would never advocate using swords. Example, Matthew 26:50-54. Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? So does it sound like Jesus would want them to get swords? Jesus is communicating to them, I need you to prepare yourself, just as you would if it were a war. I need you to prepare yourself mentally and spiritually, because here's what's going to happen. They're going to come and get me, and they're going to be after you. And if you're not prepared for what is to come, you're going to have a hard time. Well, guess what? They weren't prepared. What did the disciples do when they came and got Jesus? They ran. They hid. They were in disarray. They had no clue what to do, where to go. But Jesus is saying, get prepared. This is tough. It's going to be hard for you because you've been with me and you're not going to have me anymore. And I think Jesus says to each one of us, when we see things like what happened in Colorado, prepare yourself. There are rough times ahead. And if you're not ready spiritually for what is ahead, there's going to be a tough time for you. You remember that passage in the gospel where Jesus is hanging on the cross and he looks down at the people gathered around him? You remember that passage? And as he looks at them, he sees his brothers and sisters of the human world. And do you remember the part where he tore one hand away from the cross? Do you remember that? And he reached down and he grabbed a man. And then he looked up toward heaven. And there he saw the face of God as he held man. Do you remember that? You know, as Father who is good and forever righteous, a Father who loves holiness and peace. And then do you remember how Jesus, with a mighty tug, freed his other hand and with it reached up and took a hold of his Father's hand? Do you remember that in Scripture? Then, in a stroke of awesome love at the cross, he brought God down to man and lifted man up to God and reconciled them. Do you remember that? Not really. He did it. But that's a metaphor. That's a way of describing how Jesus brought us together with God. Here you go. Dad, come on. Let's do it. Let's get you together. Not really. There's so much that we can say, not really. But the fact is Jesus was conveying a point of preparedness. Be prepared. Be ready. And so it goes. Jesus uses metaphors. Jesus tries to communicate. We try to communicate. We don't always understand, but you know who does? God. No matter what we try to communicate, no matter how we try to communicate it, God knows our heart, so God knows exactly what we're thinking and exactly what we're trying to get across. So I ask you to picture in your mind, when you think of God's love, Jesus taking the hand of his Father and taking your hand and bringing you together. Let us pray. God, oftentimes we do not understand the messages that we read in Scripture, and we ask your guidance in those cases. And oftentimes we don't understand each other, and we tend to become angry with one another and frustrated with one another. And we ask for your healing presence in those cases. All too often we misunderstand what others are trying to communicate to us. May we be good communicators, and may we work hard to understand the message that you would have us hear. For we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.